Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders, and Broncos. Today, it is the AFC West in-depth draft breakdown from JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. He flies through the division, giving you everything you need to know about every single pick. It's fun, it's furious, it's fast, and it is the last one in our division series of breaking down all the drafts division by division. So enjoy it. Go back and listen to some others on Apple Podcasts or at JoeBucksFan.com. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. We are doing the AFC West and finishing up our draft for NFC-AFC, and then we're going to get jump right into a fantasy football podcast, and then we're going to get into mini camp updates on rookies, and then we're going to get into the regular season. So we are so close to starting. Mini camps are starting in the next few days. Let's talk about Bill Curry Ford before we get started. So are you worried about paying too much for a new vehicle? Don't worry and drive Curry. With our summer sales event, Bill Curry Ford will beat any advertised price by $100. Just bring the ad in on your phone. You can print it out. Just give it to my staff. We'll match it, beat it by $100. It's that easy. We'll get you in and out. And if you're trying to find time to schedule, which I always, it's always difficult to try to schedule service because it's always prior to work is usually when people try to do this, and I understand the difficulty, but I don't want you to worry about it anymore because with Curry, the no-charge pickup and delivery and no-charge mobile vans, we can perform service from your house or work, and if you want to visit, we have over 100 loaner vehicles available. Just visit BillCurryFord.com and schedule now. All right, let's jump into the AFC West. Let's get into the best 30 minutes in football, and of course that's my opinion, but obviously very biased. So the Kansas City Chiefs finished in first place last year, obviously won the Super Bowl, AFC West, 11 wins, 6 losses. Let's see how they did with the draft. So they wanted to add a receiver, obviously. They went and got the best story from the combine at pick 28 in the first round. They picked Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Here's a guy that's a poor man's Tyreek Hill. I'm assuming that's how they looked at it. He did have a terrific story at the combine. He ran the combine at 4.22, his first run, which you could really sit on that. And then what did he do? He goes, no, I'm going to break the record. And then he came back and broke the record at 4.21 seconds. Then he almost like ran around the stadium, firing up the crowd that was there. It was it's a very unique story. I'll remember it for a long time. So Xavier Worthy, whether he becomes a good NFL player or not, you know, is up to him, but his combine story is one of the best combine stories ever. So basically, this is what I think of Xavier Worthy. I watched a lot of Texas, obviously. Ark Manning was there. So, you know, I kind of wanted to see the preseason with him last year. He came in the Texas mini camp. They have like a mini camp for college, you know, right before the season starts. And then, of course, you know, Arch Manning didn't get the starting gig. But then I was able to watch a lot of Texas because of a lot of players that were drafted. So I watched Ewers play at quarterback, and he's a guy that I'm not super high on. I'm really looking forward to see what he steps into this year, like how forward the competition pushes him. Xavier Worthy on the field, though, he made some plays. I don't think his 4.21 speed showed up in college football. I think there's moments where you see him like scattering down, but he doesn't look like anything sensational. His hands are 50-50. You know, he doesn't have terrific hands. His route running is not super terrific, but he's a go. You know, you just basically hike and you go. Xavier, run it really, really fast and do a go route down to the end zone, and let's see if we can get it in your hands. So the guy weighs 172 pounds, right? That's really small. He's a very thin wide receiver, but again, he is tall. He does have length. He has room to grow. I really do wish he does well. He has the best quarterback in football throwing to him. That can't hurt. Justin Watson, who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, is a friend of the podcast, and he's another tall, fast wide receiver that the Bucs drafted. If he, you know, he's had very productive years with Patrick Mahomes, and again, Xavier Worthy can go out there and just be himself, try to get some space, and then just try to make sure he hangs onto the ball when Patrick Mahomes is throwing it to him. So, you know, he's in a really good position, and he's got one of the best coaches in the history of football that's going to be coaching him. So to get him into situations where I think you're going to see him taking some flips and some handoffs. I'm not saying he's Debo Samuel. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think you're going to see some pitches to him, try to use his speed to get the outside. Looking forward to that and seeing how they're going to use him. But again, he's a guy that if you're a rookie fantasy football league and you're in a dynasty, Xavier Worthy is a guy that should be on your radar. In the second round, pick 63, Kingsley Sumatea out of BYU. He's a tackle. He is going to start for them. I think he can play right and left tackle, but I think he plays left tackle in the NFL. I really think he's going to steal snaps. I think he actually might start the season. The Kansas City Chiefs offensive line has been hit or miss. Patrick Mahomes, because of the way he delivers the ball, makes up for a lot of errors with the offensive line. Kingsley is a guy that can go right in, very well coached, great size, great length, and play left tackle. So, again, we'll see how that goes. And then in the fourth round, they didn't have a third round pick. They selected tight end Jared Wiley out of TCU. This is one of Ira's guys that Ira talked about, and then he ends up going to the Chiefs, which is really great. He had 8 receiving touchdowns, which was first amongst all tight ends last year. He had 308 yards after the catch, which ranked 8th. Wiley is one of Chris Collinsworth's guys, right? So he was really big. Mel Kiper was really big on him. They think he's going to be a passing weapon. You know, obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs have the best tight end in football. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. But Wiley gives them some depth and another really great target. In the fourth round, pick 133, safety Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. They continue to add defensive backs, right? I mean, this is what they do. This guy, Jaden Hicks, extremely productive guy. He was a star at the Senior Bowl. He had a great coverage grade, smart guy. He can play zone and man. He's a great tackler. In the fourth round, I think Jaden Hicks is a steal. I told you about the safety class. The teams don't value safeties high, so a lot of these really solid NFL safeties are dropping. And the depth is really becoming pretty incredible in the draft in the fifth and sixth round. In the fifth round, another center went out of Penn State, Hunter Nurzad. Big, strong guy, has the center body. I think that he can play guard and center. I think he gives them a backup behind Creed. I think that's really super important. They don't have a lot of depth on the offensive line. I think he's a terrific pick at 159. In the sixth round, cornerback Camille Hayden out of Tennessee. Here's a guy that is just a cover guy. Doesn't play the run very well. Doesn't play press coverage very well. But he's a zone corner. He can catch the ball, which is really terrific. He can get turnovers. And he doesn't give up a lot of completions. So that's really interesting. But he has a lot of work to do to round out his NFL game. In the seventh round, pick 248, guard C.J. Hansen at Holy Cross. Don't know a lot about Hansen. Had to do some research for this because I don't really follow Holy Cross very much. Here's a guy I think they just took a flyer on in the seventh round, pick 248. Here's a guard. He's got some athletic ability. He had a really great career at Holy Cross. So maybe they're thinking there's something there for them to develop. But in the seventh round, does it really matter? Right, so going back to the first round, Xavier Worthy is going to get a lot of snaps for Kansas City. I think Kingsley Sumatea out of BYU starts for them at left tackle. Jared Wiley is going to get some snaps as a backup. Jaden Hicks and then Hunter Nurzad out of Penn State and Camille Hayden and C.J. Hansen are just some depth guys. So if you really look at the Kansas City draft, it's really going to hang on the first 2 picks, right? Possibly 3 picks with Wiley, but he's not going to get a lot of opportunity unless you know who gets hurt or he goes on a Taylor Swift concert tour. But Xavier Worthy is going to get playing time. We'll see how he goes. And then Kingsley, I think, is going to start. So basically, for a Super Bowl team, they got possibly 2 starters out of the last picks in every draft, in every round. And they got a little bit of depth. Overall, I'm not very impressed with the Chiefs' draft. Last year, they had a tremendous draft. This year is kind of, for me, ho-hum. I think there were some better players on the board. The next team that we're going to look at is the Las Vegas Raiders at 8-9. So right now, as I'm doing this podcast, there's a rumor going around that the Raiders are going to trade Davante Adams. So we'll see how that goes. And then it's very strange, their draft. You could tell that the Raiders were definitely going quarterback. This is what I think happened. And then Atlanta obviously takes the quarterback. The Raiders are like, oh my gosh, what do we do? And they take tight end Brock Bowers, who was the best player on the board. Everyone knows how I feel about Brock Bowers. If you are a best-in-class listener, you know that I think that he is probably one of the top 5 overall picks in this entire draft at any position. He is a tremendous difference maker. Who would not want Travis Kelce in his prime, you know, starting out? I mean, when I tell you how special Brock Bowers is as a blocker and as a receiver and as a leader, this guy is the man. And the Raiders took Michael Mayer last year out of Notre Dame, which I really like Michael Mayer. I don't think he's a strong blocker, but he's a really good pass catcher. And then they come back and take Brock Bowers. I just think that when you're looking at the board at 13, you're going, okay, Brock Bowers is a top 5 talent. He's a difference maker. You have to look at Brock Bowers differently than a tight end. You need to look at him as Malik Nabers, You know, you need to look at him as like a Marvin Harrison Jr. impact guy. You can't just look at him as a tight end and go, hey, the tight end is not going to be very productive. That's just not true. Not only he does the run game, he also is going to be doing a lot of catch passing and scoring touchdowns. He's also a tremendous red zone target. But to me, I'm not going to knock the Raiders for taking Brock Bowers at 13. Super important. In the second round, they go after a guy that Lee talked about over and over again as a guy that he really liked in the second round, pick 44, Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, a center who was going to be a top 20 pick. He fell to pick 44. I don't think he's going to play guard because he struggled at guard. He absolutely is a starting center in the NFL. We'll see how that goes. Big, strong guy, very plays with a lot of power. Is going to really help in the running game. So, and Brock Bowers is going to help in the running game. So the Raiders are like, hey, we're going to run the ball with Brock Bowers and Jackson Powers Johnson. So that's really interesting. In the third round, they picked Delmar Glaze out of Maryland as a tackle. The interesting thing about Delmar Glaze is obviously I love his size. I love his arm length. But what I find interesting about this guy is there were better players on the board, better, less developmental players on the board. And for some reason, the Raiders really like Glaze. I feel like he's got a lot of work to do to get into the starting lineup and make a difference. But again, he has the talent to do it, and it picks 77. But I feel like overall there were better players. In the fourth round, cornerback Dakarian Richardson out of Mississippi State, plus-size player against the run, earned a career-best 80% run defense in 2023, and he missed just 3.9% of his tackle attempts last season. So if you look at him, he had a huge PFF grade. If you go by that stuff, NFL Buzz has him as probably a third-round draft pick. He fell to the fourth round, 112. Again, physical guy, can play the run, kind of fits the Raiders' style. In the fifth round, pick 148 linebacker Tommy Eckenberg out of Ohio State. So he basically is a big-name guy, right? So played at a high level at Ohio State, was a big-time recruit, obviously is a legacy. He had family that played in the NFL, obviously. He had 25 combined run stops in 2022 and 2023. He's known as a guy that gets run, that plays the run defense, gets a lot of tackles for loss, not much of a pass rusher. That's why he fell to the fifth round. I don't think he's going to be very good in coverage. But again, he's a physical linebacker, kind of fits that Raiders style. Pick number six, when I say in round six, pick 208. Now, I've seen this guy, his name pronounced all kinds of ways, and this is Dylan Lob. I've heard that. I've had Lobe out of New Hampshire. It just depends on who you're talking to. If you do the Google, it's Lob. He's basically a receiving threat at the running back position. He's definitely a receiving threat out of the backfield for the Raiders. I think this is a guy that if you're in a dynasty fantasy football league and you get a lot of points for catching from a running back, this is a guy that's going to catch a lot of balls for the Raiders. I think he's a pretty much do-around guy. He can do a lot of different things. He's like a Swiss Army knife. Myself, I would have thought he would have had a lot more production at New Hampshire as far as his level of play. He did have 700 receiving yards. I get that. He missed. He had 23 people forced. But when you look at him, it's like, okay, he left some stuff on the table there. In the seventh round, pick 223, safety Trey Taylor out of Air Force. Taylor won the Jim Thorpe Award for the best defensive back in college football. This was one of the guys that Todd Bowles talked about. They were pretty high on this guy, but he ended up going to pick 223. These Air Force guys, they're very, very hard. Like the Armed Forces guys, you don't see a lot of the guys drafted. For good reason, because you don't know about their deployment and you don't know if they're going to get time off to play football. And then you don't know how much time has been devoted to football. So to me, in the seventh round, he's more of a training camp guy. Let's just see if there's the raw talent there that can make him into something. And then in the other seventh round pick 229, MJ Devonshire out of Pittsburgh. This is a guy I had the Bucks looking at in the late rounds. He had 18 forced, 18 incompletions in coverage, which was the sixth best mark in the ACC. And he also allowed only 45% of the passes thrown into coverage to be caught, which was the sixth best in his. I think that Devonshire has a lot of upside to fit. That's why I wanted the Bucks to draft him. I feel like that there's an opportunity here for a lot of growth on him. But if we're recapping the Las Vegas Raiders, Brock Bowers is a solid pick. He's going to be a star in the NFL. Congratulations to the Raiders for not passing on him because they drafted Michael Mayer the previous year. Center Jackson Powers Johnson will start for them at center. I think those picks are tremendous. Damell Glaze, not as thrilled. Dekamrion Richardson out of Mississippi State, and then Tommy Eckenberg out of Ohio State, and then Labe or Lob out of New Hampshire, Trey Taylor and MJ Devonshire. What I think what the Raiders do is they pick two guys that I know will start for them. The rest of these picks are kind of like, these are one-trick ponies. And I'm going to give you an example. So let's just talk about Glaze, right, for which was their third pick, pick 77. So the guy doesn't move very well for a tackle, so they're probably going to move him into guard, right? So is he an impact starter at guard to start? I don't think so. At pick 77, there were guards. If you're going to have a guard, they could have picked a right or left guard that was already used to it. And you also picked Jackson Powers Johnson, who can also play some guard. But, and then in the fourth round, Cameron Richardson is a great player against the run, but not a terrific player as in press man or zone. So, you know, he's going to play up on the line of scrimmage closer to in the box. They picked a linebacker at Ohio State that has coverage problems. They picked a running back in the sixth round that has some potential as a pass catcher. And then Trey Taylor is a project, and so is Devin Shear out of Pittsburgh. So, again, very strange draft for me, except for the first two picks. I understood the first two picks. Moving on to the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos went 8-9 last year, and they're paying $45 million for their quarterback to play for another team, which is really interesting. And Sean Payton, of course, as you know, is a big pile of poop that coaches them. He's just not a good person. I can't stand the guy. But I will talk about the Denver Broncos draft because it's one of the best drafts in all of football. And I'm going to talk about the quarterback position. So Bo Nix was their first-round draft pick, pick number 12. I listened to all these people down on Bo Nix saying that, you know, he's more of a second-round draft pick. I would love to talk face-to-face with some of these guys because I'd like to understand what they're looking at with Bo Nix, because it's not size or arm because he has both of those. It's not his timing or his accuracy because he's the most accurate college football quarterback of all time. He has the most starts of all time. His touchdown-interception ratio is one of the best all time. He had over 70% completion percentage 2 years in a row. In big games, he makes big-time throws. The competition level seems to be, he rises to the competition level. I'm trying to figure out what this guy did wrong other than play at Auburn. He did play awful at Auburn. I have to give, if you watch the tape at Auburn, he's terrible. You go to Oregon and he played inside an offense that really fit him. And you know what? He ran it really well. I listened to some of these guys go, oh, we threw a lot of bubble screens behind the line of scrimmage and 30% of his passes were behind the line of scrimmage. That's the offense that he ran. So did he run it to efficiency? Did he run it to the best of his ability? He ran that offense better than anyone has ever run that offense in the history of football. So if you think about it, how can I blame him for the offense that he worked in? He excelled at it. This whole Bo Nix thing drives me insane. I think Bo Nix is going to be incredible in Sean Payton's quarterback system. I think that Bo Nix is better than Drew Brees coming out of college as a college quarterback. Drew Brees obviously, you know, had an okay rookie year with San Diego. We'll see how Bo Nix does. And the accuracy is just not something that you can, and the timing. The kid's got timing. I don't know. Coach's son, most starts in history. To me, I'd be all over Bo Nix. And if I was in a league, dynasty league, I'd be drafting Bo Nix because I know the other quarterbacks are going to go super high. People are going to be down a little bit on Bo Nix. And I think it's just national pundits. And I don't know what they're talking about. In round 3, pick 76, they picked edge Jonah Ellis, a guy that I broke down heavily in the Bill Curry Ford best-in-class edge breakdown that I did prior to the draft because he was a possibility for the Bucs to draft him. They got great value at 70. In the third round, they got an edge rusher that was possibly a late first-round, early second-round guy. So he racked up 39 pressures, 13 of which were sacks. He won 17.7% of his pass rushing snaps. He gets to the quarterback. He knows what to do when he gets to the quarterback. Here's the problem with he gets lost sometimes. And when I say lost, he gets blocked. You get on top of him quick, you're going to take him completely out of the play because of his size. Now, if you don't get on him quick, he's going to absolutely disrupt the play. And you can see that on tape. So I think Jonah Ellis has a chance to be somebody. In the fourth round, they pick Bo Nix's favorite target, Troy Franklin, out of Oregon. Here's a guy that the Bucs passed on when they drafted McMillan. So I'm going to obviously mirror these two guys to see how they do. McMillan is obviously a much better route runner than Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin has better top-end speed and can high-point a ball and has that down-the-field vertical threat. So I don't know if they pick McMillan because they think Trey Palmer is that for the Bucs, but we'll see. Troy Franklin is a very underrated wide receiver. I think you're going to see him and Bo Nix click, obviously, right away. In the fifth round, pick 145, Chris Abrams-Drain out of Missouri, another late corner that played opposite Enos Rakeshraw Jr., who was obviously a first-round draft pick. This is a guy that just provides some depth in there. I think he might be able to play some nickel and steal some snaps. But, again, just a solid corner in the fifth round, which is really interesting. Here's to me, one of the steals of the entire draft. In the fifth round, pick 147, Estime out of Notre Dame. Estime is one of those guys that forces misses and breaks tackles. And it's unbelievable. He forced 64 missed tackles on the season, which led all of college football. He is a very hard man to get to the ground. He has a very low running style like Maurice Jones-Drew. So if you look at Estime, this guy in the fifth round pick 147 might be, and I talked about Ray Davis in my last podcast, Estime might be an absolute star for the Denver Broncos. And that, you know, and they have some terrific running backs, but they're coming off of injury. So we'll see how Estime gets some carries. But I think he might be a preseason star, and he's going to get a lot of people hyped up. In the seventh round, pick 235, Devon Vealey out of Utah, wide receiver. I don't know a lot about him. I didn't study him a lot. To me, it looks like he's going to be a special teams guy, similar to some of the other special teams guys that we talked about to return kicks and punts and see what he can do. I just don't see him as an everyday wide receiver in the NFL. Another seventh-round pick, 256, is an inside lineman, Nick Aurelio, out of South Carolina. He had 350 snaps at left tackle, left guard, and center. This guy can play all over the line. His position versatility is going to let him make this team. I think he definitely makes a spot. And he also went to Yale, by the way, so you know how smart he is. He only gave up 2 sacks in his entire career on 1,400 pass-blocking snaps, which is pretty incredible. So this guy, I think, obviously makes the team as depth. But if you look at what the Broncos did, Bo Nix, franchise quarterback, Jonah Ellis, is in the third round, a steal as a pass rusher. Troy Franklin in the fourth round gives the Denver Broncos a starting wide receiver that has a relationship with their quarterback they just drafted. Chris Abrams-Drain is another guy that is going to be a solid contributor. Estime in the fifth round is a steal. Devon Vealey out of Utah, again, I think he's a special teams player. And Nick Aurelio out of South Carolina is going to be a depth piece. But overall, the Broncos, solid, solid draft. Now we're going to go to the Los Angeles Chargers. I say San Diego Chargers because that's where my heart is. I always revert back to the original. You know, I still say Washington Redskins. And I, you know, like one of these things, I still say Los Angeles Raiders or the Oakland Raiders. It just comes to my head. You know, Houston Oilers. It's just, it's crazy to see all the movement in the NFL. But the Los Angeles Chargers, they just got Jim Harbaugh as their head coach, which is a big step in the right direction for the Chargers, as you know, they've had very poor coaching with Herbert there since he was drafted. First pick in the fifth overall was Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. He's basically a can't-miss tackle. He's going to start from day one. He'll keep Justin Herbert upright. He's also going to be a terrific run blocker. But as you can see, Harbaugh is going to be working on these on the line. In the second round, they picked Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. Now, listen to me about McConkey. The Chargers let Mike Williams go in the offseason. I think McConkey goes right into that spot. And I'm telling you, I find it very interesting that this was Harbaugh's choice because he had other receivers on the board. But he picked this sure hands guy that runs terrific routes right off the line of scrimmage. I think this guy gets a lot of balls. I think he, you know, they picked Quentin Johnson at TCU last year, which, as you've listened to the podcast, I said he wasn't going to be very good. And guess what? His rookie year was a disaster. They're already calling him a bust, which I think is a little crazy at this point because he's going to get better coaching this year. He did have a very bad year. I felt like I don't think that Quentin Johnson's a bad wide receiver. I just don't think he was a top 20 pick in the draft. I feel like he was very, very overrated. And I think everyone saw that last year. I think he's a one-trick pony. I think he needs to learn a route tree. I think Ladd McConkey is going to come in and show him a route tree, maybe do some really great things with him. I think he might see a resurgence this year. But if you're drafting wide receivers, and a lot of the guys are going to go for Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers and Ndunze, which they should. Those are going to be top guys. And then Roman Wilson's another guy I'm really high on for Pittsburgh. I think he's going to have a terrific year. But McConkey, I think, might lead the league as a rookie in catches. I think he's going to get that many targets in that offense. We'll see. One of my favorite linebackers in the entire draft, they picked in the third round out of Michigan. That's Junior Colson. Obviously, he was the captain of their defense. Unbelievable tackler, unbelievable captain and leader. Can rush the passer. He definitely was, in my opinion, the best linebacker in the country, other than, obviously, you know how I love about Peyton Wilson, but he got injured. But Junior Colson is a solid guy, changes the defense. And I guess, depending on what they're doing with the rest of their players, you know, is what are they going to do with Mac? You know, that's something that I'm very interested in seeing if they're going to play together. In the fourth round, pick 105, Justin Eboji out of Alabama. He had 7 sacks last year, 31 quarterback pressures. He played on a second line, so he wasn't a starter. So that's really interesting, a player. But he upgrades the defensive line for them for sure. Cornerback Tahib Still out of Maryland. Very physical corner, can play outside, inside. He can do press man, he can do zone. I think this guy has a tremendous career ahead of him because he's so versatile. He also is a terrific run defender. So remember Tahib Still out of Maryland, because I think he's going to stick in the NFL for a long time. Cam Hart out of Notre Dame is another corner. He gave up no touchdowns last year in 2023. Has terrific size and athleticism. I don't think he's a terrific tackler. I'm not a big fan of the fact that he doesn't play physical. A lot of these Notre Dame guys don't play super physical, but super smart player. So if you look at what Harbaugh's doing, he's picking very, very good players with that are either captains or calling defenses, which is really interesting. In the sixth round, they picked running back Vital out of Troy. So Vital, he's basically this Greek god-looking guy, which is pretty incredible when you look at his size, how he's, I think his bench, I think he did 22. I think he led all running backs in bench press. I know that doesn't mean anything, but it's just really interesting to see how he studied for the combine. And he had 14 rushing touchdowns, and he forced a whopping 94 missed tackles across 295 attempts. So here's a guy that maybe Harbaugh knows some inside information on, because for me, being from Troy, remember what I said about these running backs that have high production at small schools if they're in the running back position? When they get up to faster linebackers and faster defensive linemen and their holes aren't 6 feet wide, they struggle. But this guy is a little bit different just because of his athletic profile and the fact that he looks like Michael Pittman. Like, that's what he looks like, if you want to have a visual image of what size he looks like. In the seventh round, 225, Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son out of USC. Again, people are afraid of him, I'm assuming, because it's Jerry Rice's son, being too hyped up. He actually had a very solid season at USC. I thought he played very well. I don't think he's a spectacular player. I don't think he's overly athletic. I think he's well coached. I think he's smart. I think, you know, his dad obviously is going to help in that situation. I understand why Harbaugh drafted him in the seventh round. Another seventh round wide receiver, Cornelius Johnson out of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh is obviously very familiar with him. The guy's a tremendous run blocker. So I think that that's a very interesting thing, is Cornelius Johnson, run blocker. And then you go up and you look at Vital out of Troy, tremendous blocker, pass protector, which I thought was really interesting. Cam Hart out of Notre Dame, smart player. Tahib Still is a guy that's just versatile, smart player. Justin Ogbi, sorry, don't send me any emails. Don't know as much about him, even though I studied Braswell a lot. I didn't see him in a lot of my tape that I watched. So he did have 7 sacks in the year. Don't know much about that player. I think he might play. Is he going to play in the interior, or is he going to stay in edge? Don't know. Junior Colson is a stud linebacker, pick 69. Ladd McConkey, a stud wide receiver, possession wide receiver. Reminds me a ton of Cup. Cooper Cup, for those of you who think he's small, he's actually 6'3". He is not a small wide receiver. He plays small because you always see him bent over. That's his playing style, is that he plays to the line of scrimmage. He's one of the best route runners off the line of scrimmage. McConkey is nowhere near the size. I'm just saying they have very similar playing styles. And then Joe Alt is a stud from day one. But if I'm going through all of these drafts and I'm looking at the AFC West, I think the Chargers steal the show. I think the Chargers drafted extremely well. I think they had a vision of what they wanted to do. And I think you're going to see the Chargers run the ball extremely well. And I think that's Harbaugh's thing, right? Harbaugh wants to run the ball. I think that fantasy football wise, you should take some running backs from the Chargers. So we'll see who breaks out of there and actually carries the football for them. So that concludes the AFC West. So please reach out to me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with comments and questions. Please leave me reviews on Joe Bucks Fan or Apple Play. And please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all the social media sites. You guys know them all. Use your favorites. And I will be here next time. We're going to break down a dynasty league for fantasy football. Don't worry and drive Curry. Please visit BillCurryFord.com for all of our amazing summer specials. See you guys next time.